guys, welcome to The Seeking with me, Fabiola. I'm super excited to have one of my closest friends that I met through an amazing church that we used to attend. She's from America, so my American audience will have an American person talking through this podcast, which is always great. So everyone, just a quick welcome to Debbie. Debbie has been a wonderful friend of mine through each season of life. She's been there giving me advice, and she's just amazing. And when I got her, as I asked her, I think it was a couple of months, wasn't it, before Debbie, when I asked you if you wanted to join, and it wasn't the right time back then, but now is the right time. So thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing today?
Of course, I'm doing well. And hi, everybody. Hi, Fabi. Thank you. What an honor to be on your podcast.
Oh, I love you, Debbie. She's amazing, guys. And today's topic, I kind of just want to start straightforward. So it's going to be called Analyzing the Book of James with Debbie, of course. And it's going to be around being saved by the word of God, which is taught throughout the book of James. But also, Debbie brought a good point that sometimes, you know, we tend to compare our lives to other people out there. You know, perhaps we're scrolling on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, and we're like, oh, that lady, you know, her life is 10 times better than mine, or she's got that bag, or, you know, she's higher up than me. So I kind of wanted to talk about comparing ourselves, but also on the book of James chapter 1, which I was recording, reading and, you know, analyzing today. It was the fact that on chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficiency in any way. So what I gather about that, and let me know what you think about that, Debbie, as well, is that, you know, patience is a huge thing in the Bible. You know, let us wait on the Lord. Throughout the whole scriptures, there'll be something about patience and waiting the right time. And, you know, during the waiting, it can be, you know, uncomfortable that, you know, we're knocking on doors, like it says in Matthew, keep asking, seeking, knock, seek and ask. And, you know, how do you feel about that? The, you know, being patient when you really want something, you know, you keep asking God, you keep seeking, you keep praising him. And whilst you're praising him in the alleyway, that door is still locked. What gives you, you know, that hope that, you know, one day God will come through and God will guide you?
Oh, yes. Well, the waiting is the part that hurts, right? Like, it's so uncomfortable. Yeah. And I mentioned this to you before, but I feel like so much of life is waiting. So we may as well get comfortable with it. Like, think of it as something that you have to just, like, sit with, stare, like, stare into its eyes, like, look at its face and just be like, we're going to do this and we're going to stay here. But it's very hard. I mean, it's not an easy thing to say wait, because there's also the part of us that, you know, we have agency and we can make moves and we can make the right decisions to change our lives in certain ways. So it's like waiting, but also like asking, whether it's through prayer or through, you know, the right mentors, for wisdom of what to do next, not just jumping into the first opportunity that comes up, or like what you think you should do. But I like what you said also about having hope through it, because actually like we think of hope like alongside things like really nice things like love and like faith and patience, but hope can be very painful, honestly. Like, and you need to be very brave for hope, I think, because if your past has been, you know, painful or you've gotten hurt before, like to hope that things will be different, like it takes some strength, just like it takes strength to stay, like to stay faithful in general. So I think holding on to hope is the key. And I mean, it comes down to faith, right? You have to take a leap of faith that things that you can't see, that you can't imagine, that they will come. And you're just waiting. I think there's something very nice about that, you know? It's like you can get excited for what's coming. Like
Yeah, it's almost like the unknown, but it's coming, but you don't know when or what time, you know. Yeah. And then on Psalms, I was just looking up a scripture, Psalms 27, where it says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And which is exactly what you've just said, but kind of emphasizing that it's kind of like enjoying the unknown, because we don't know when it's coming, but we're hopeful, you know. We have that faith, that seed is planted, and we'll just have to watch that tree grow. And then once that tree grows, it blossoms, and then, you know, the fruits are there. And I think throughout this year, I think I've definitely planted the seeds. The plant is growing and I'm watering. And, you know, it's uncomfortable because I kind of want to have the apple, the oranges, the peaches growing out of that tree. But God is kind of saying to me, perhaps not right now, not this year, but next year you'll be able to capture those fruits that are growing from what you've just gone through, you know, the season of waiting, the season of, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, but, you know, just putting all my faith and hope on him, which is what I said to you, like, this year has been a little bit rough prior to this recording, you know. It's been up and down, but I do feel like next year, you know, when I start recording again, it'll be more like, praise the Lord, testimonies after testimony, because I'm putting the work and now I'm going to see the fruits.
Right. You know? Yeah.
I don't know if you can relate to that, whether your 2023 has been, you know, testing, you know, do you compare yourself with other people, you know? I know we're the same age range. So it's kind of like, you know, we're still waiting for perhaps that right person to come. And, you know, sometimes we can have other people, voices and opinions, you know, dictate how we feel, if that makes sense, you know. So it's trying not to, you know, when you go on TikTok, on Instagram, people get married and you feel happy for them, but you also question, oh, when is it my time, you know?
Yeah. So
what do you think about that, comparing to other people's life and, you know, the journey that they're on?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think every single person on the planet does it. No matter where you are or what is it that you want, you're always going to see someone else that has it or that you think has it. Of course, you can never fully know anyone's lives. So that's why comparing, like, it doesn't really make sense anyways, because you don't know that person's whole life. Like you mentioned Instagram, like, you're only going to see the highlights. You're only going to see their best days. But I think really the best way to go against that is, I love what you said, that you feel happy for them, that you celebrate it, and you're just kind of like, just join in the joy that, like, good things do happen to people and good things are going to happen to you too eventually. And I just love that, like, James, the book of James actually does touch on this. Because we maybe think of it as a very modern thing to compare ourselves, right? Think that, oh, we want that house, or we want that lifestyle, that car, whatever it may be. We want, you know, that career, that money. But because James, like, the book of James talks about it, that means this is a very ancient thing, like, that humans have always dealt with. And James calls it out pretty, honestly, pretty savagely. I just had it right here. He says that he calls it bitter envy and strife. And I could just read for a second. It's actually in chapter 3. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. He says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So in another translation, he actually goes on to call it, like, demonic, like, comparing yourself and being envious. He calls it demonic. Like, that's very strong language.
Yes,
but
it
he's
is.
Getting right. He's getting to the point that, like, this will actually, like, tear you apart from the inside if you compare yourself. And I think part of it is because when you compare yourself, you're not honoring God. You're not honoring yourself because you're making yourself look in your mind, you're inferior to this person. But, like, you're God's child, like, you're his creation. So why are you putting down God's creation?
And it's almost kind of saying to him, like, we don't trust you enough. We are questioning the path that you have for us.
Yes.
And, you know, in the book of James, chapter 3, at the bottom, it also talks about wisdom. So that's kind of like, as well, be cautious what you're putting out there, but also mm-hmm. have the wisdom, you know, feed your soul. That's why I say to people, try and read the Bible every day, you mm-hmm. know, pray every day. Because as soon as you don't pray, that's when the enemy will come and attack, mm-hmm. and he comes for a mind and a force, and whatever we put out there is what we will receive back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love that you picked up on that. Mm-hmm. And on chapter 3 at the bottom half, it also talks about, you know, reputation and wisdom. It also talks about people that like to boast about things, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think back at uni, used to have friends that would post like brands and all of that, and I just thought, that's not the lifestyle that I'm here, mm-hmm. where I am, you know. Because they'll be like, and I kind of like felt out like an outcast, you know. Mm-hmm. Because I came from a background that I think we're average, we're not rich or poor, thank the Lord. But I would compare to them and be like, oh, I wish I could have, you know, that fine dining perhaps, you know. But it's almost like if I had the wisdom back there, the wisdom of God, I wouldn't be comparing to that mm-hmm. lifestyle, you know.
Yes.
And that's important. And that's mm-hmm. important why we should have, you know, God's wisdom, not any wisdom, God's wisdom, mm-hmm. which is on chapter 3 on James, if people want to go back and
read
that bit. But yeah, Debbie, so what else do you think about, you know, comparing? I like what you said. That was a very good report that you picked up from James, you know, mm-hmm. analyzing that, what he said. And it was such a powerful word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love what you said about the wisdom of God, because that's exactly what he says. He says, whatever you're feeling right now, that you're making yourself feel bad by comparing yourself, that's like earthly wisdom. That's not from me. Like, yeah. God is kind of saying, like, I never said that. I never, like, put value on what you're striving for. Like, the value is in where you're in right now, the work that I'm doing in you right now while you're waiting. And I guess with that wisdom, it's almost like we learn to see God as, like, a father figure, right? We call him Father.
Yes.
So imagine, like, an actual, like, your actual own father, whatever relationship you have with your father. It was, like, just a parent figure sitting in front of you and, like, just talking to you and being, like, you're young, you're, what's that word? Like, you're quick and you want so many things.
Yeah, we want everything now.
Right? You want everything now. Away. And it's, like, yeah. Imagine a parent talking to a child saying, like, you have to slow down. Like, you're still growing. You're still learning. There's so much that you don't even know that you don't know, you know? And with that, like, hearing wisdom like that from like something that we could never understand, like, that brings peace, you know. It, like, it calms your mind, it settles you down. It's hard in our modern world, especially with social media and with whatever city you live in. Like, okay, I live in LA, so you just walk down the street and you already have 10 things that you wish you had that other people have.
Yeah, right? I mean, in LA, it's like, I live in Oxford, but I couldn't picture myself living in LA because all those celebrities and the body image. And if you don't look a certain way straight away, you would, you know, I think my obsession with my body and my image will be very high in LA, you know.
Gosh,
I don't know how poor girls, you know, they, mm-hmm. how can you compete with that? It's almost impossible.
Right.
However, if you have the wisdom of God, you will think, you know what? Yes, she's skinny. Yes, she's got, you know, the boob job, the lips done, hair extensions, but I am a child of God and God has made mm-hmm. me in his perfect image and I am enough and I don't need to compare myself to, you know, people from this world, because at the end of the day, they get back home and they're probably broken souls because they don't know. They don't know about God, you know. Yeah. It's just mm-hmm. an image that, you know, they put on this makeup and like this mask to cover up what's actually, you know, inside and what's mm-hmm. happening. So when James spoke about the word of wisdom, like, I picked that straight away because it's so important, you know, especially nowadays with, you know, the world's is so much going on at the moment and it's awful. And just to have wisdom and, like, to, after your long day at work, and to go back home and just open the Bible and gain some wisdom and be like, you know what, I do trust God, and you know what, this good thing's coming, and you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and you know, in Psalms 27 it says, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. So things, you know, memorizing scriptures also help, because you can implement them on your day-to-day routine. You know, if something's not going right, you keep saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I will wait for him, I shall be strong, you know, wait for the Lord. And you know, another one is Psalms 130 verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope, you know. So scriptures like this, it just kind of gives you that energy, that wisdom, that power to keep going, no matter, you know, what the world throws at you, because nowadays it's not nice. So yeah, Debbie, back to, you know, what you were saying when you lived in LA and all of that.
Yeah, so exactly, like, you need that wisdom that is like, that's just deeper, that's pretty much like divinely ordained. And I think, I mean, like, yeah, we live in a crazy world, but there's a lot of like help out there for people who are really struggling, you know, who are going through like depression or whatever kind of issues with mental health. But if you notice, a lot of the help that's out there, so you go to counseling or therapy, like, so much of it is really, you can call it a mirror image of what we read in scripture. Like, scripture tells you to fix your eyes on things above, and that's what, you know, the health sciences will also tell you. They say, don't focus so much on the little things, like, try, like, really try to see your life from like a bird's eye view, and see that, like, even though that person is there, you're here, it's not like everyone's on one highway going towards this one goal. It's kind of like, you have to think of it as more of a map, and that person is there, like, that person is currently in Europe while this other person is in Australia. Like, we're just in different parts. It's not that we're on different levels or anything, it's just different areas, different parts. And I think, like, you can only really understand that by, I mean, I see it as like, God created the world, right? He was and is to come. So he holds time in his hands. So it's not like he even sees it that way. He doesn't see it as like, you're at point A while this other person is at point B, and you need to hurry up and get there. Like, he doesn't see it that way. He sees the beginning, he sees the end. And yeah, I would say a lot of people who actually give mental health advice, I think actually are, you know, they're basing a lot of the advice they're giving off of scripture. Maybe they don't actually say that to their clients, because I know, like, you have to separate your work from your faith. But that's definitely what I've noticed. And this is not just for a city like LA, where it's like obvious and like that everyone is comparing themselves all the time. I think it could be anywhere. It could be like the smallest town. If, like, I mean, Oxford is not that small, but say like any other town, you see the same thing. So it's a very universal experience.
It is.
Right? Yeah.
And how would you say, you know, because obviously you live in LA, when you got there, because obviously you came to Oxford for a bit. That's how I met you. So how would you say was, you know, when you were in Oxford, and it's not as big as LA, of course, it's more reserved. And, you know, did you feel more like you would compare yourself more here, or LA is like, how have you learned to cope with that, like, not to compare to, you know, all this beautiful woman that come past all the time, and, you know, not to try and compare your life.
Yeah,
I mean, these women are models, you know, I can just imagine it. And, you know, how do you try and stay focused? You know, I am Debbie, and I'm a child of God. You know, how do you cope with that? What's any advice for anyone out there that's, you know, for me, I would go back to wisdom. And, you know, what, there was another episode that I did earlier on this year, which it was like, comparison is the thief of joy. Like, why let something steal your light and steal your joy and steal your hope, when, you know, you are perfectly made by him? You know, we're all, like you said, we're not on the same level. Everyone's doing different things around the world. So billions of people, you know, it's not a competition, but I think society makes it like a competition nowadays, but it's not. So what would your advice be? You know, how have you coped with, you know, different, living in different countries, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's a work in progress. I can't say I'm perfect, that I don't like have those feelings. And I think I would say if anyone does know how to perfectly cope with it, please let me know. But I would say, I think I was thinking about this a lot recently, and I think what helps me the most is that if I'm looking to someone else, and whether it's how they look physically or because of where they are in their career versus mine, the thing that keeps me from comparing myself is I just have to remember, like, everything I've gone through, that I've learned, like, all the work that I've done to get to this point, all the things I've learned about, even, like, about health, about being a better person, about being a better student, a better worker. Like, I'm 29 years old now, so that's 29 years of just growth and of building, and I don't want to, like, devalue any of that, any of my old experiences, whether they were good or bad, or whether, you know, maybe I don't want to share them because I'm ashamed, or whether they were, like, moments to really celebrate. Like, it's all this big, like, everyone's life is this one huge story. And I actually heard, I read somewhere that, like, each life is its own universe. And it really is, isn't it? Like, it really it's so intricate and dynamic. So if you just, you just have to remember how much value you have in your own life. And it's not about then being like, okay, so I'm actually better than that other person. It's just like, we're all just little ecosystems in ourselves. Like, we're all just our own little worlds. And there's so much value in each person. And I think it's, now that I say that, actually, it's about, like, seeing people as equal, which in the eyes of God, we are all equal, right? Like, we're all,
we are all equal.
Like,
yeah.
First of all, we're all falling short. And at the same time, we're all saved by his blood. So it's like God sees your immense value, maybe because he always is conscious of everything that you are. And this is another thing that I just thought of. Okay. Think of when you, Fabi, when you really like a guy, like when you have a huge crush on him. And okay, just, I don't know if anyone is listening, like, let someone come to mind. If you're a guy, think of, like, a girl that you really liked. And when you like someone, like, you become kind of, you pretty much become obsessed with them, right? And you want to learn about their lives. You want to, like, learn their whole story. And
We forget about ourselves because that obsession is so intense that you kind of like, oh, okay, what about myself?
You know? Exactly. But when you like someone, like, you value, it's almost like you value them, their lives, in such a, this, like, glittery, glowy way, right?
Yeah.
Focusing on their imperfections. Like, maybe it's not the most, like, Calvin Klein model beautiful guy, but you value him so much, and it doesn't even matter. His own insecurities, you don't even see them. So it's kind of a weird metaphor, but think of, like, you're always like that in the eyes of God. Like, you're always this immensely valuable thing, and, like, there's no point in comparing, because what you think you're lacking is, like, nothing, you know. It's like, it truly is nothing.
Exactly. And sometimes, like you said, you know, people say to me, like, you know, the people that I was with in the past, they're, how do I say it without being rude? They're not, like, the most handsome people. And people would be like, really? You did, you fancy that person? I'm like, yeah, because, like you said, I looked past that. I looked at their heart, or maybe I was just obsessed with a certain area and I got intrigued by it. And you know, that's life. But also, we become so obsessed with them that we forget about ourselves, you know. Like, oh my god, he hasn't replied, then you have an awful day because they haven't replied, so that changes your mood. And it's like, wow, you know, sometimes look in the mirror and say, really, am I that needy? Because that's showing, like, needy traits. You know, you don't need him to reply, but we're checking 24/7 to make sure, you know, he's replying that. And it also comes back to, you know, as woman and men, it's knowing your self-worth as well, you know. Like, we're all different, we all bring something to the table unique, and there will be, you know, that person that that will be enough. What we have will be enough. Mm-hmm. It'll be more than enough.
Right, so, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I love that example, Debbie, mm-hmm. for sure, that you just gave, because definitely relatable. I can relate to that 1 right. billion percent.
I know I can, for sure, my friend. yeah, exactly. I love what you just said right now, though, about, like, knowing your self-worth and also,
yeah.
like, having pride in who you are. Not any kind of, like, I mean, pride is, like, a strange thing to talk about, especially when you're reading scripture, right? It's, like, one thing we shouldn't yeah. have. But there is a sort yeah. of pride that I think is good. Like, you carry yourself knowing, like, all the years that have built you up and everything that you've gone through. And honestly, like, there's something so gangster about that, being, like, I'm not looking at anyone else. I'm just on my own path and I'm doing my yeah. thing, right? I love that.
Yeah. yeah. That's, like, some boss energy, you know? Right. Like, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not the chair, I'm the table and chairs, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm not gonna change myself to fit your needs. Because I think, you know, going back to relationships quick, I think when we start liking someone, we start to adjust who we are, mm-hmm. so we are pleasing that person. And I think that's already a red flag, because we shouldn't mm-hmm. have to adjust anything. I mean, yes, potentially, you know, when you start dating and then it gets serious, of course you have to adjust and adapt, etc. But not at the first months that you're starting to, you know, get to know someone.
Right.
For example, one of my friends wrote to me this morning and said, oh, you know, the guy doesn't text me. You know, he's been playing FIFA, some games nowadays online. And I thought, you know, it's straight away, I was like, that's a red flag. He's not texting you, shows he's not interested, you know, like, and she kept saying, yeah. And then I started messaging him, you know, saying like, what's wrong with you, why you're not replying? And I said, but you're already pushing him away, because you're already bothering him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's yeah. as bad as it sounds, it is like the man has to chase nowadays. I know it's like people perhaps argue with me and say, well, not really, because women are now, you know, stepping up to that role. But I'm very old fashioned, and I know you are, Debbie, so I think mm-hmm. we would want someone to, you know, chase us and, you know, respect us and like us for who we are, without us having to, you know, feel like we're a burden to them. So mm-hmm. so yeah, I think having wisdom is critical, and we need to do it. We need right. to, you know, focus on God and remember that he will step in, he will provide, he will bring that person, he will bring that job. And, you know, the season that we're currently in, it's not forever, it's only mm-hmm. for now, you know. In a exactly. couple of months time, we'll look back and laugh about it, you know. Maybe not laugh when the tears are rolling down, but I do believe that each tear that we cry behind closed door, God puts them in like a little bottle, and then he'll change that into, you know, joy and happiness and congratulations. And I do believe by the end of the year there'll be congratulations knocking on people's door, whether that's a job, that's a marriage, someone's getting married, or, you know, whatever you want, keep seeking him, keep knocking and keep asking, because he is there, God is there, and he's always, mm-hmm. you know, he wants us to get closer to him and, you know, pray and, you know, fast if you have to fast. I always said it, and I always will continue to promote fasting, because it shows God that your willingness, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's such a raw thing to do, that you're always there, and, you know, you're pretty much saying to you, here I am, Lord, step into my life, and I trust in you, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And Debbie, anything else you want to mm-hmm. say to anyone? Because I found the perfect scripture to kind of wrap this whole topic up around patience. But any advice you want to give to someone, like a younger version of yourself, what would mm-hmm. you say to her? If she was listening to this podcast, for example, for me, if it was a younger version of me, it would be learn to have patience, Fab, because you never do. You want everything right now, and then you jump the hurdle, and then you jump the boat, and then you're kind of like, oh great, God, can you like come and save me? And, you know, that doesn't work like that. So definitely waiting, wisdom, mm-hmm. as we've said. And mm-hmm. learn to love myself the way that I am, and not mm-hmm. compare myself to other people, because they're on their own journey and I'm on my journey. And mm-hmm. that's that. But what would you advise? What would be three things if you could say three or two, mm-hmm. or whatever comes to mind?
Three or two. I love when people ask, like, what would you tell your younger self? I just love that whole idea.
That just came to me. Like, I think it was the Holy Spirit asking.
I feel like I want to ask every single person that I see now. I'm going to, like, what did you say? But I would say the first thing that came to mind was I would tell her, you are exactly where you need to be because you're not going to speed up time. And I would say, like, especially parts that were more difficult where, like, I say you go through something and you feel like you're the odd one out, like you're just, like, deficient in some way. I would say that is refining you in a way that you're going to be so grateful for later. You're going to, like, have, you just, everything you go through, you're building resilience and understanding. And I just want to say, like, before I went on this call with you, Fabi, this whole week, I was listening to other people's podcasts because there's so many podcasts about comparing yourself. And I wanted to see, like, what do they say? Like, what advice are they giving or anything like that? And one thing that I kept hearing over and over was people saying, like, oh, don't compare your year one to somebody's year five. And there was always this, like, the theme along all of those was that even though you're not where you want to be now, you will be soon. Like, you will eventually have that. And I love that idea. And it's very true, right? Because it's you will get there. You will get the things that your heart desires. But I also want to say that, like, even if in 5 years from now, even if you still don't have that thing, or if, like, somebody can look at your life and they don't see much material change, say, like, there's no big house, there's no big raise, I don't know, whatever it is. You, through that waiting, like, so much is happening and you're going to be just, like, this more mature, like, so much more mature and stronger in your faith. And you're going to have this kind of understanding that can only really come through waiting. And it's going to be just, like, this peace that you carry around within you, which I can say I do feel compared to when I was, like, 21, 22, just kind of, like, chasing these, like, every day a different idea, a different little dream. But, yeah, I feel like now, I don't know how to describe it. Like, the wisdom, I just feel like there's more wisdom in me that can only come from above and can only come from those hard moments where you just feel, like, so down on yourself. You grow from those things.
I love that advice, Debbie, because it's true. Just because I like what you said that you've heard, like, especially the bit where he said, when you mentioned, like, just because it's not happening right now doesn't mean that it won't happen. And I needed to hear that because sometimes for example, I'll give the example of my career. You know, I studied, went to uni, etc. And, you know, I pushed myself. I'm a perfectionist. I got the education, but I haven't got the experience. And in the UK, you need the experience more than education. Whereas in America, I think it's the other way around. Education comes first, then experience. And it's kind of, like, demoralizing at times because I'm like, I worked hard for it and I'm not where I need to be. And that's where I'm like, I get a bit frustrated and I'm like, what can I do? You know, I'm knocking on doors and the doors are not opening because I keep getting the same response. Oh, you know, you are qualified, but you don't have the experience that we need. And then there'll be like another lady that is not qualified, but she's got the experience. So she is qualified for that role.
Yeah.
So I love that because I think you just spoke to me because it's a good reminder. Just because I'm not there yet, that's me that next year I won't be there because I will be there and I'll probably be higher. So that's amazing. That's amazing, Debbie. I love that a lot. Like, I think you definitely spoke to me, and I know you'll be speaking to other people listening to this. And the final thing that I wanted, have you got anything else to say about the book of James? Anything that you on your notes that you thought or haven't spoken about this, but I want to elaborate or bring it to light before we wrap this up? Because I got a really good verse from James 5, chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. But have you got anything else, Debbie? Thank you for coming as well. anything else you think maybe the book of James, you know, a word, anything that, anything, let God guide you, anything you want to say or add?
Actually, before we even went on this, Fabi, we were chatting a little bit, and can I just read the two lines that you read that I love? It says, okay, this is from the first book of James, verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So it makes patience sound like a person that's like sitting in front of you, sitting in your house, working steady with like a kind of steady wisdom. And I would say, like, get to know this person whose name is Patience. Like learn to have them in your life, in your house, because you're going to need it. Just like you would say, what would you tell your younger self? You would tell her, learn patience. Well, truly learn patience. Like, if it's something that you carry with you everywhere you go, something that can follow you around, that, you know, is just giving you peace of mind. Yeah, I love that.
That's amazing. Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, anyone listening, like, the book of James is pretty short, so, but it packs a punch. Like, his language is very strong, and it's exactly what you need to hear, actually. It's kind of like a tough love episode, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you. It's a short book, so if someone out there is, you know, wants to pick up something that's short, not so intense, it's short, but it's full of goodness. That's how I would wrap it up. You know, short, simple, but full of wisdom and goodness that brought, you know, it will make you go, wow, that is true.
Right.
And the final one that I saw is James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. And I want to end it with this, and I'll pray after. It says, meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the master's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for the valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Stay steady and strong. The master could arrive at any time. Isn't that just wonderful, Debbie? Look, patiently for the master's arrival. Not your arrival, Debbie. Not my arrival. Not our parents. The master's arrival. And I love how it compares to, like, you know, the farmers. Because sometimes it's hot and it's summer and it doesn't rain. But they're not worried about their valuable crops. Because they're patiently, you know, letting the rain do it slow. But at the end of the day, it will be doing the work. Mm-hmm. And then it says, be patient. If you're going through something, and just remember, focus on the farmers. You know, what do they do when it's a hot day? You know, there are some farmers that, you know, South America is always hot. How do they do it? Because it, you know, barely rains. It's so hot all the time. So compare yourself to the farmers. You know, they're not worrying around, panicking. They're waiting patiently, and they know that, you know, God will provide. So. Yeah, guys, thank you so much to Debbie for coming, and honestly, one of my good friends. I appreciate you, so thank you for giving up your time, you know, joining me, and, you know, talking about God and sharing the word of God. And I kind of knew that you liked the book of James, and now that I'm like reading it again, I'm like, yeah, definitely a good choice, Debbie.
Right. So, yeah, he's a good one. And thank you so much. I just want to say thank you. I had fun, Fabi. I could talk to you all day. I'm probably gonna call you after this. You probably need to go to bed, right? It's like, how late is it over there? For me, it's middle of the day.
It's half nine at the moment.
Okay, it's
half
like,
nine, but we're all good.
Yeah, so. We're all good. But thank you so much. And yeah, anyone who's listening, thank you. And keep listening to Fabi, because she's dope and she will speak truth.
Oh, thank you Debbie. And yeah, thank you so much, guys, for listening to me and Debbie. I hope, you know, this topic resonates, and, you know, you can go back and, you know, just open the book of James. Like Debbie said, it's a short book, so it won't take too long. And yeah, I just want to do a quick prayer, because I feel like the world right now is upside down, so, you know, I'm just going to pray. So Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to pray over Debbie. I want to pray for her that, you know, whatever season she's in, you will, you know, wrap your you know, your anointed oil, and you would cover her in, you know, the blood of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I want to pray, whatever season Deb is on, I don't know what season you're on, Debbie, but I just feel like I want to lift all of those burdens, and I want to give it to God. And whether you've been going through like a season of stress, that I want to give that stress to God and let him carry it for you. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. And Heavenly Father, I want to pray for each listener that, you know, if they're going through a season, that you step in and you guide them, and you show them who you are. Because at the end of the day, you know, there are many people out there, and you know, they say this and that, but there's only one God, and you know, you are the Alpha and Omega, and in you we shall trust, and we shall continue, you know, doing your work, God Jesus. So Heavenly Father, I want to pray over my life as well whilst I'm here. I want to pray for blessings that are coming for everyone that's listening, and for people that are struggling. And it's not about how we started the year with tears, but we're going to finish the year with joys, and we're going to finish the year with blessings, and we're going to finish the year with congratulations knocking on our door, because we deserve it. When, you know, when we have the wisdom that you are giving us, God, and you know, you guide us and you use us and you prune us each day, you know, that may we end this tough year, because it's been tough, we end it with blessings and, you know, just happy and joy. And whilst I'm here, I want to pray all over, you know, the world and the war. You know, it's devastating, God, so allow you to step in and just heal those broken souls out there that are suffering, kids being murdered. Lord, please step in and, you know, just restore the pain and heal and make it all stop, so that when we welcome 2024, it's better than what we live in here in 2023. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everything that you do in our life. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for the roof that we have over our heads. So yeah, thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you, Debbie, for joining me. And thank you so much, guys. Make sure that you're sharing, you're liking, share it with your friends. And yeah, thank you so much, guys. God bless you all. And once again, thank you so much, Debbie. You've been a star. Take care, no, guys.
Not a problem. Thank you. And thank you, everyone.
Take care. Bye.
Take care, Missy. Bye.